Joining me on today's Press Box, former Northwest Missouri State Bearcat Dave Tollefson. He walked on the plate defensive line, played in NFL Europe, and ended up on the New York Giants last year and won a Super Bowl. And I thought it'd be great to talk with someone with Missouri ties who played in the Super Bowl. Dave, first, do you still hold the record for 12 and a half sacks in one season?
Yeah, I do, and I'm proud to have that.
It's quite an accomplishment. I mean, you had a long journey through injuries and surgeries to get where you are. I mean, were there times at all where you thought about giving up? And I mean, what drove you to compete and keep going?
Well, it was just my dream as a child to play in the NFL, not in a preseason game or anything like that, but actually to kind of go down in the history of the NFL as being a member of it, and just keep persevering. That's always been my thing. It's something that I've wanted my entire life, and I've had a great support group, my family, my mom, my brother, my sister, and then my wife of 2 years now that I met at Northwest Missouri State. She's always been a big supporter. She's worked when we needed money and stuff like that, and now she's 4 months pregnant, and we're kind of reaping the benefits of both of us putting in some hard work.
Well, first of all, congratulations on the baby on the way. That's great news. I mean, that's certainly it's been a great year for you so far. Then, I mean, that's just, it's exciting. You were back in Merrillville a few weeks ago, right after the Super Bowl, and you were signing autographs for Bearcat fans. And from what I hear and from what I read, that you took your time signing autographs and meeting with the fans, and you went to the basketball game and took your time there and stayed longer than you were expected to. Why was that so important to you to do that?
Just because not only Northwest Missouri State, but the city of Merrillville has been so good to me, and you know, anything I've ever asked from that city or that college, they've always given it to me, and just my experience there. What a great experience! A kid from California flying out to Missouri on a whim. I walked on out there just to play some football. Obviously I wanted to play in the NFL, but I knew it'd be tough and stuff. But Coach Churchma taking me in. And the kind of man that he is, teaching me some things that I really needed to learn at that point in my life. And that whole experience, I owe a lot of this to that city and those people there. So I try to give back as much as I could. It's tough to get back, but, I mean, I try to go back as often as I can.
I mean, you lived a dream of all kids. You not only played in but won the Super Bowl. And it's been just a couple days over a month. I mean, what did that feel like?
I mean, it was one of the greatest feelings I've ever had, just to be a world champion. I mean, there's not a lot of people that can say the world champions. It's just an amazing feeling to have my family there with me. Coach Coughlin talked about this feeling of when you win this world championship, it's as if your whole entire family is world champions, and that's really one thing that I could say. I remember seeing my grandfather and my grandmother after the game, and just huge smiles on their face. I haven't seen them that happy in years, and just felt like we all kind of been through this together, and that's every NFL family. It's a struggle to play in the NFL and to get there, and for everybody, when they win the Super Bowl, their whole family wins. It's an amazing feeling.
Now, you were on the practice squad for most of the year. Did you get activated just before the playoffs?
No, I was actually activated in week five. I was picked up off of Oakland's practice squad. And when you get picked up off a practice squad in the NFL, they have to activate you.
Okay.
So they only have to activate you for 3 weeks. So to be honest, I didn't know how long my stay would be in New York. I packed for a short stay, to be honest, because I really didn't know the situation too well. And so I didn't suit up, though. You can activate 53 guys. You can only suit up 45 for games. I didn't suit up for games till week 10. And when I started suiting up, I suited up week 10 through 17, and then obviously every game in the playoffs I played.
So where was your wife at this time? You're in Oakland. You have to go all the way across the country to New York. Is she with you at this time? Or
no, she's in Omaha. She actually, this is crazy as my life has been, hers has been just as, if not more. She had to finish school, so she finished here in Omaha, at University of Nebraska, Omaha. She actually finished. And then, like I said, come to find out she was, a month pregnant towards the end of the season. She, made the dean's list in college and stuff like that. So she was busy doing her thing down here. But now, hopefully, that she's done with school, we're going to be inseparable.
I'm going to try to tie all of this together, but how did you, what did you do to earn a spot to get dressed, you know, for the Giants, and to talk about that transition of coming over to New York and then staying more than 3 weeks?
Well, really, at first when I showed up, I didn't know any of the defense, so I really was kind of just a glorified practice squad guy. And they kind of threw me in there. Some defensive linemen were banged up and weren't practicing. So, like, the first day I showed up to practice, I got almost every snap on defense. It was crazy. It was really a crazy experience. And then, you know, just through special teams practice, the first couple of weeks, I just really started focusing on that because that was going to be the key to getting me on the field. And so I focused on that and eventually got to the point where, you know, Coach Coughlin was like, we got to get him on the field on special teams. So a couple people got banged up, a door opened up, and I suited up for every game after that.
Boy, so I mean, just getting noticed, just by hustling.
Yeah. You got to do it. You know, I got to take my best play I've ever played in my college career at Northwest and do that every snap that I'm out there at practice and during games. You know, it's really kind of just a focus and hustle as much.
You know what's amazing about this is, you know, I think as fans, we watch games and we see guys that maybe have a bad day or they have a bad stretch where they don't play well. And, you know, we're real quick to criticize and rag on them. But, you know, you go about your situation. You move from Oakland to New York. Now you're trying to make a spot on this team. But also in your personal life, you've got your wife. They just found out she's pregnant. She's finishing up school and she's in the middle of the country. I mean, how do you separate all of your personal stuff that's going on, because that's a lot of stress right there in itself? How do you separate that stuff and focus on what you have to do on the football field?
Well, you know, obviously God has blessed me with an amazing wife that can handle as much as she's handling us being away. I mean, that's tough. We have a young marriage, and, you know, this is kind of the formative years of our marriage, and we're kind of away from each other. But, you know, we know that we love each other, and she knows that not only is this a dream for me, but it's a dream for her. You know, and I'm trying to provide for our family, not only now, but in the future and stuff like that. And it's just, you know, having faith that, you know, we're doing the right thing as a young married couple and just having someone with you. I mean, this is a tough journey I'm on, and to have someone that kind of was an athlete and understands the commitment that it takes, and you can kind of walk that road with somebody, it makes it a lot easier.
Let's go back to Arizona. Talk about the media week. Now, obviously, the media is going to be focusing on Eli Manning and a guy who you said is a great guy, your defensive linemate, Michael Strahan. But what is that week like for a player to go through media week?
Well, for a guy like me, it was really an eye-opening event. I mean, there was 5,000 media personnel there. There's just as many people that live in the city of Maryville than how many media people were there. So it was really a pretty exciting event. I got interviews and stuff like that, and it was just fun. We had fun that whole week as a team. We tried to take stuff not too seriously and just remember, let's just play at the level we've been playing at this entire playoff run, and that's something that we were able to do.
The night before the game, you're laying in bed. What do you think about?
I try not to think about too much stuff. And I try to take it as any other game. I'm a firm believer myself of you can study too much. And I think that if you don't know it the night before the game or even the day before the game, if you don't know it yet, you're probably not going to know it. So I really kind of try to take my mind off of the game a little bit and just focus on getting enough rest and eating right and stuff like that. And really get nervous and all of a sudden you're not eating enough. And then, you know, that affects how you're going to play and stuff. And there's all these, you know, extra things that you do to make sure that you're taking care of, drinking enough water and stuff like that. Because if you're thinking about the game and you're nervous about the Super Bowl, next thing you know, you go out and out there and you're tired and you start cramping up and stuff like that. So I tried to kind of get away from the game a little bit and worry about taking care of myself.
And did all that work then come game time? I mean, did you feel like you were in the right frame of mind? And
yeah, I really did. I mean, I felt like obviously, I knew my assignments when I had to be out there, and I knew my opponent well enough. We'd played him once before in Week 17, and just a matter of any opportunity that I got to be out there, I wasn't going to leave anything out there. This is the Super Bowl. I had 2 months off after this, so anything after this, I didn't want any regrets. So I made sure I gave everybody a little extra when I was out there.
What is it like as you line up at the line of scrimmage in the Super Bowl? I mean, is there a lot of, you know, trash talking? Is there, are the guys spitting on the football? I mean, you hear all these stories. Now, how much of this stuff is real? And I mean, what really goes on before the ball is snapped?
I mean, there definitely is some trash talking. I mean, it's kind of funny. A lot of it is funny stuff and everything because, you know, the NFL is kind of like a fraternity. A lot of these guys you see twice a year, if not more, you know, in the playoffs and stuff like that. So you really kind of get to know how these guys play and stuff like that. So obviously as a grown man, when you get kind of beat up, your pride gets hurt. So the first thing you can do is tell them something about their mom or something like that, you know, try to get them worked up or something. But yeah, I mean, I haven't seen anything about spitting on balls and stuff, but I mean, when you get in on that pile, you know, that pile, there's a pile in there when we played Green Bay, when the ball was loose. And I mean, when you're talking about to go to the Super Bowl, all you need to do is get the football from the other team.
Yeah.
There's some wild stuff that goes down on in there. And, you know, I probably shouldn't delve too deep into what.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Is there crotch grabbing going on?
Oh man, everything. Oh my gosh. Float eye going for your eyes. They're grabbing your crotch, you know, and I was on the outside, so I'm grabbing people's legs on the other team and I'm trying to pull them out.
Oh my gosh.
It's you know, when the game's on the line, it's.
Does it become comical at a point? I mean, when you're out there, I mean, do you ever think to yourself, I can't believe I'm doing this? Or when you look back on it, I mean, that's.
Oh yeah, it's you know, one thing that happened was Michael got hurt during the Dallas game, late in the game when they're driving to win the game. We're up by three or something like that, or a touchdown. They got a score, a touchdown to tie or something. And I look across, and I'm just have this huge grin on my face, and OC looks at me. He's like, "Hey, why are you smiling so hard?" I'm like, "Are you kidding me? This is the divisional playoff against the Cowboys. This is awesome, you know." And they all laugh at me when they remember that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's great. I see this a lot, not just in this Super Bowl, but in a lot of football games. How does it happen where maybe both teams or maybe one team is struggling to move the football, and then all of a sudden things start to click? And that happened for both teams, really, in the fourth quarter. I mean, the defense for both teams really did a great job. How does it click all of a sudden? Is there a desperation mode that offenses go into? Or, I mean, how all of a sudden is there all this boom, 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 boom scoring in the last 11 minutes of the Super Bowl?
That's a good question, because I wonder the same thing myself. I'm like, are they saving plays for the end of the game that are just so... Why didn't they use them early in the game and touchdowns with them earlier?
Yeah.
You know, to be honest, I really don't understand myself, but there's a couple of things that happen at the end of the game. On defense, you get guys that are trying to make plays to end the game and end up being out of position, and guys open up, you know?
Oh, okay.
And two,
yeah.
I'm sure, you know, during the game, a quarterback misses a guy that's open. He doesn't even see him. And if they come back to that, they know he's going to be open or something like that. They might save that play for later. And you know, it's just kind of a mayhem. You know, you either make it or break it. And I'm sure you notice how many teams do end up scoring touchdowns late in a game like that.
Yeah.
But I'd really like to see how often they fail, because you really don't notice that, you know, they failed and the other team gets the ball or something, you know?
Right, yeah, yeah.
I really would wonder what the percentages are of how, you know, touchdowns late in the game, because, you know, we get a breakdown of teams scoring per quarter, you know, with every team that we play. So, but and typically, it isn't like this team has all their points in the fourth quarter, you know?
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's not like every team in the NFL only scores in their fourth quarter, but it does seem like that. I understand what you're saying. It's like, man, where were these plays earlier in the game? Why didn't they use them? I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah. When you saw Eli Manning escape that rush, I mean, gets, you know, wrapped around by the shoulders and breaks free. I'm watching it on TV, and I see him throw this pass up in the air. I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be picked off. What was going through your mind?
Just, man, when he got away, I was like, this is it. We're going to do it. And then when David caught that, it was just an amazing catch. And it was kind of, it was just, you know, our coach had talked to us before the game, our defensive back coach, Pete. And he had told us an ordinary play is going to become an extraordinary play at some point in this game. And once you know it, you know, Eli just escaping a sack and throwing a ball up becomes one of the greatest plays in Super Bowl history. You know, I mean, you're talking about a guy, Eli. I love the kid, but he's not, you know, Michael Vick out there escaping sacks and stuff like that, you know?
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, God bless him. He deserves everything he's got. He's a great guy, and bless his butt.
Now, being a defensive guy, did you feel any bit of sorrow for that New England defensive line that let him get away?
I mean, yeah, as a you know, member of that fraternity, the D-line fraternity, it's like, you've been there. You've been through that. Obviously not in the Super Bowl, and it's the biggest game of your life, but believe me, I've missed a couple sacks that, you know, you can't believe that you've missed, and I can understand those guys are probably sick to themselves still right now that they didn't get them down, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's great. Well, listen, I appreciate your time. What's next now for you in the off season and for the future?
Well, right now I'm just kind of relaxing. Obviously, I just bought a new house out here in Omaha, Nebraska, and enjoying the time with my wife. And you know, we have a workout that we've started. It's like 2 days a week right now, 3 days a week next week, et cetera, et cetera. But March 31st, I got to be back in New Jersey. And then we start getting after it, try to make another run to the Super Bowl.
Wow, unbelievable. Not too much time to rest.
Not too much.
So you'll be working on the baby's room?
Oh, definitely. My wife is already, you know, that's all that Super Bowl money. Fans out now.
Now, if it's a son, will you call him Tom or Eli?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. We're talking about possibly name him Tucker, but then my line mate Justin Tuck, you know, he ran with that when I told him that. He said he's going to tell everybody to name my kid after him. So
yeah, yeah.
That.
Well, that's good. Well, listen, I appreciate your time, and I know it took us a couple weeks to try to hook up, but I know you've been extremely busy, and I appreciate your time just talking with me. I mean, some of the stuff that you shared is just some great stuff.
Yeah, no problem, man. It's my honor. It doesn't bother me, man. I love doing interviews and stuff like that and kind of letting people know what it's like. And just if anybody could hear this, and just, I mean, I walked on at Northwest Missouri State, you know, and maybe some kid out there is pondering whether he's going to walk on or not. And it's kind of one of those deals where you put your mind to it, you know, why not?
I really appreciate your time. And I think you bring a different level of you know what a pro player goes through, and so I've enjoyed the visit.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Yeah, have a good one.
Take care.
Dave Tollefson, defensive lineman for the Super Bowl champion New York Giants, just bought a new home, got a baby on the way. Things are going well for you. That's it for this session in the press box.